have a couple of things before us today, including transportation, which is always good to know about state government finance and education, ag and environment. Representative Osment, I see, is here. Why don't we jump right into that? So we'll start with the presentation by our good friend, Representative Osment, the chair of the Environment, Agriculture, and Natural Resources Committee. Representative Osment, welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I really appreciate the opportunity to present to the work of our committee. And members, we started out working on this, trying to listen to as many projects as we could. Matter of fact, anyone that submitted a bill with a hearing request was heard. We had spent after the many hours listening. We also had the governor's proposal, which was for our area, was $155 million of requests, and with the additional $253 million requests from members, which included many that were also in the governor's proposal, some that were not, of course, and we come up with a recommendation before you that asks for $208.7 million for projects that the committee really felt should be given opportunity to be funded in 2006, including flood mitigation, trails, parks, landfills, forestry, wetlands, prep, and many more, all with a significant regional and statewide impact. And we had, Mr. Chair, if you'd take a look at the documents that we provided, there's first a spreadsheet that we have put together, and I'll work mostly off that spreadsheet. There's also some specific language in document identified as the March 17th, 06-7005. And that is the language that goes with the numbers, and of course includes some specific riders of some sorts. And so we wanted to try and.
President Osment, do you have all the language? I you know, there's usually some colorful language that usually goes with these projects. I haven't always seen that included, but.
Mr. Chair, we try to keep it right to the point, but. The importance to me on these particular bills is that you recognize that we're trying to do an activity and provide you with some recommendations, but we wish we had a lot more that we could in the form of resources. So we're trying to narrow down and give you some priorities. But there's many of these issues that are not included here would also deserve, and maybe coming from different sources, for you to look at from other committees. While I'm mentioning that, I think I will make reference to the letter that we have included, Mr. Chair, to the Capital Investment Committee from from our committee. And this was actually a motion that to include this letter with these documents. That is because there's another item in the Higher Education Committee that we looked at with regard to renewable energy and how we can maybe transform that into some value-added commodities. And it's after Representative Westrum's bill of 2686, and we throw our support behind that provision also.
Great.
There is, when we go through the spreadsheet, Mr. Chair, I think I will ask if Mr. Reinholtz would quickly walk through it. Basically, we have followed the governor's guidance with his recommendations. In most cases, and we have added or enhanced them in a couple, and we'll try to point those out as we go through.
Thank you.
Mr. Reinholtz?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Jim Reynolds, fiscal analyst with the House. As Chairman Osment indicated, I will walk through the spreadsheet quickly and indicate those items recommended by the committee. The first department would be the Department of Natural Resources, and on line 7 is a recommendation of $10.5 million for flood hazard mitigation grants. That's an ongoing program that DNR operates. The next item on line 18 would be $2 million for dam repair and reconstruction. This is for state dams that the DNR manages and is responsible for repairing or maintaining. The next item is a $60,000 general fund appropriation recommended for the Rapidan Dam. There's language in the bill that indicates what this is. It's a joint project with the federal court.
Mr. Reinholz or Chair Osmond, the change from the $9 million to the $10.5 million, are you sticking right with the DNR list, or did you hop around a little bit?
Chair, we have relied quite heavily upon the on the DNR's list, but Mr. Reinholz?
Mr. Chairman, members, if you would look at the language on page 2 of the language handed out, beginning on 2.8, indicates the flood hazard mitigation project. And what you'll see if you follow down to that, it is on 2.22, it has Wild Rice Watershed District at 1.5. And it also has, if you go continue on, you'll see that there's $100,000, $355,000 on 2.24,000, and $100,000 on 3.1 for the St. Vincent project. Those are the two items that are picked out that would not have been funded off the DNR lists, and that's why the grant is higher to cover a portion of the recommendation is higher.
All the rest of our requests are, or the members had requested, are on the list.
Right. Moving back, I would go down to the state parks. That would be line 23. There's several different areas of funding. The first one is infrastructure rehab and natural resources restoration, recommended at $3 million, the same as the governor's. Line 24 would be state park building rehab at $3 million, which is the same as the governor's. State park acquisition is at $4 million, more than the governor's. And there is also in the language, what it does is really restrict it to in-holdings in current state parks.
Chair, if I could just mention on that point, we're trying to encourage the Department of Natural Resources to really focus on their existing state parks and get some get us a plan on how they're going to deal with those in-holdings. We have not had an increase in acquisition dollars really since the late 80s. It's been $2 million every biennium for this effort, and of course that means we're losing ground because of inflation and so forth. So this is trying to boost it up along with encouragement for them to give us a better concept as to how they're going to deal with our state parks, and let's get some of these in-holdings included in those parks so they can be enjoyed by the public as was envisioned when the boundaries were put in place.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members, picking up where I was, it would be line 26, $2 million recommended for state park camper cabin construction. Line 28 is...
Mr. Reinholz, on that point, if I could interrupt just for a moment, if I read the graph spreadsheet, you've got that as GO bonds, and I believe the governor recommended user finance. You know, shooting from the hip, I tend to think we ought to do the general obligation. Is that your intent here?
Mr. Chairman, the committee did change that to GO bonds, not user finance.
And maybe you could just amplify why you think that's important to do the general obligation.
Mr. Chairman, the discussion I really was that the state park system really could use the extra revenue. I think that was really the deciding factor.
I'm glad you did that. Thank you. Continue.
Moving down, then there is on line 28 is Glacial Lakes Sibley State Park has a specific appropriation, which is also for camper cabins in those two parks. The one above was left to the DNR to decide where to put them. Line 30 is at Munson Lake State Park is dollars for some electrical outlet plug-in installations. State trails would be next, and that is line 34. The committee recommended 12.511 for state trail purchase, rehab, and repair. And they are listed in your bill under 51 on page 5, line 18. You would see that there is a listing of the state trail dollars spread out to which trails and for what use it will be earmarked for. This is primarily a listing came from a combination of the DNR's list which really was only rehab, and this is all included in there, and the priority list from the State Parks and Trail Association.
The council.
Excuse me. Next item would be fisheries improvements and purchasing. That's $4 million, same as the governor. State land reforestation, $4 million, same as the governor. State forest land acquisition, $2 million. That was less than the governor's in that case. SNAs is at $3 million. Development of water access and fishing piers at $3 million. Lake Superior Safe Harbors at $3 million, and it's earmarked for the project in two harbors. Stream protection at $2 million, same as the governor's. Local community grants is at $4,680,000. The governor was at zero on that. The committee felt strong about providing money for local grants in parks and trails, and that's what those dollars would be used for. Native Prairie Bank easements at $1 million. Waterfall habitat structure building at $1 million. Fish hatchery improvements at $1 million. Metro Greenways is funded at $1 million. Statewide asset preservation on DNR buildings at $2 million. Trust fund land purchasing at $1 million. What that is doing is, in certain counties, purchasing land that is in the school trust fund in order to put it into where it's making money for the trust. Forest roads and bridges is at $2 million. The building of an off-road vehicle recreation area at $1.5 million. Wildlife area is at Rim Wildlife Areas at $15 million. Large-scale forest conservation easements at $10 million, and purchasing of either easements or actual purchasing fee title on sensitive riparian lands is at $1 million. That is one of the items in the clean water legacy bills. Next would be local.
Mr. Chair, if I could, before we go on, there's a couple of points I'd like to draw your attention to underneath that DNR column. When we, on line 44, where we had the governor's request at $4 million and we dropped that to $2 million, it's because we had discussion about shifting dollars to line 56, which is forest roads and bridges. So we took $2 million from the forest land acquisition and put it down into forest roads and bridges, which did not have a governor's recommendation. And it was our discussion that we really should support that overall effort. We also had, when we were talking about on line 49, local community grants, the governor was at zero. And we had requests for rural regional parks as well as some local projects and so forth. This local community grants has a program in DNR and a selection process on how to deal with these local requests that they want grants. And we felt that we'd like to utilize that existing program and fund it so that we could have many of those projects that were coming to us to be viewed as individuals, that they would actually go through that evaluation process that we have set up underneath the DNR program. And so it that's the reason why we decided to put the $4,680,000 into that overall effort.
Representative Osmond, while we're chatting here, the language on page 6, line 14 through 20, is, have we put language like that in bills before, dealing with the trail?
I don't have an answer. Reynolds, is that...
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe this exact language has been in the bonding bills before, no.
Where did that language come from, or who's recommending that?
That was a request from DNR. And the committee discussed it, and their explanation to us was that they could have a project that was not ready to be completed in total, and we could have another one that was ready to go, but actually in order to get it completed was a little bit more than what had been authorized, and they wanted some ability to move some of those dollars around, and the committee saw fit to give them some flexibility.
Thank you.
Oh. Do we have an example, Mr. Chair, where that has happened?
Representative Hausman is curious to know, and if you don't know, if there's someone from the DNR that could amplify or help us understand that. Do you know of an example of what this would be or what they're looking for there?
Or where money was sitting.
Very hot stuff that we should know about.
Or listed. Was that a question from you, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, it was a question. Do you know, did the DNR list any examples of where this would have been beneficial had they had that language before? And if you don't know that, if the DNR or somebody from the DNR don't have to have it today, just get it to us in the next day or two.
Okay.
We would like to know more about that language change before we include it.
We will have that. They're indicating that they'll provide that for you, Mr. Chair. To note that the committee did want it to be confined, that flexibility confined to the specific list.
Okay.
So it's not that they could take it. The original language that they presented to us, you could read it as though they could then take that money and put it on any project that they wanted to. And
right.
We've made it stick to the list, but we knew that we might not be right on with regard to completing that list, and we let them have some flexibility on that list.
By and large, they just assumed we didn't earmark, and we'd like to make sure we get a trail. So it's that tug to find the right language. Representative Kahn, were you indicating something?
Yes.
Representative Kahn, indicate away.
I'm interested since we were, the first thing I wanted to say about that trails was I certainly, and I found it when I looked at it, was I certainly didn't want it just done without any oversight, but I see there's at least a notification requirement. I don't know if you wanted that switch to have even more than just notification with that issue of what you do to keep that constitutional, but yet keeping legislative oversight about what you intended to do. But the other issue that I'm interested in, the two items for the $600,000 for the Cedar Lake Trail and $300,000 for the Cedar Avenue Bridge Trail. Does that finish vote? Where does that get people on those projects?
Chair Osmond.
The Cedar Avenue Bridge Trail, I believe, is monies to try and get them along on the pathway of doing something with that project right now. But no, I don't believe that's a completion of that overall effort. Mr. Reynolds, do you have a better...
Mr. Chairman, you're correct, and they are pursuing other dollars to go along with that, this appropriation on that trail. In both of them, the Cedar Lake Trail, that is, they were requesting more money than that, so this will not complete that.
No. Mr. Chair, to this point.
Voice. Representative Kelleher.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, actually, the Cedar Lake Trail would be completed with that, with 1.8, did you put
1.6? No, there's 1.6. Mr. Chairman, there's 600,000
okay.
for the
city. So 1.8 is the completion amount. There's 4.3 million sitting in a earmark from the federal bill by Representative Sabo. So 1.8 completes, 6 would, half a million roughly would not.
He's leaving anyway, so what the heck?
Mr. Chair.
Okay. I was kidding.
I am. No.
Boy, you're sensitive over there today, Representative. I didn't refer to you as anything today. Other than my good friend, Representative Kelleher.
Yeah, you're not the deputy dog today?
I don't dare bring that up to me. Now, that was Mahoney. I want to clearly. Okay.
You guys trying to make my day today?
So, Representative Kahn, are you done?
Yes, I think so.
Perfect. Representative Demmer was next on the list.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question, actually, Mr. Chair. Back on the question that you asked about projects not being ready to proceed, is there, that seems a bit subjective as to not ready to proceed when? Is that when the dollars are allocated and they're ready to write the check and find out? Or, Representative Osmond, is there some sort of a gauge, or is that kind of a common sense thing? As to
referring
when?
To the language that we have for DNR flexibility?
It'd be on page 6, lines 614 through 620.
You know, and Representative Demmer, you know, you can tell us what you know there, but I do think we probably want to hear it at some point from the DNR on it. But feel free to answer as much as you can. But I do think that we want more information before we would include that for sure. But
well, maybe it should wait till that time comes around.
It's, our intent was to have those dollars available for whatever the time period of the recommendation is for. That's, and I don't know what the timelines are on that.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I agree with the sentiment. It does make sense. It's kind of common sense. I was just wondering if there's any kind of guidelines so that it's not a question as to what does ready mean. So that's
right.
It's just a lot.
Mr. Chair, just to be real candid, what we were looking at is that we know that we have limited number of dollars that are going to be authorized, and here's where we kind of put the priorities. And then, if because it didn't quite fit into the category, it was on the specific project, but it's still in that category, we're trying to give them enough flexibility to use that during this time period, knowing that if they don't use it now and they have to come back in a future request, you're competing with all those other projects all over again. So that was the goal.
Well, and I guess the question I have for the DNR is, you know, does it create an accounts receivable for that trail? I mean, if you buy, yeah, you're borrowing it from a trail, or so if you had to take, you know, $200,000 from a trail that wasn't ready, do they have to come back and fight for the trail, or how's that happen? And so, what I'm saying now, we're a curious lot.
I understand.
Or an odd lot, I guess. Okay.
Just share one final comment on that, in that column on line 61, which says sensitive riparian lands acquisition, where you see in parentheses CWL, that's standing for clean water legacy, and those are dollars that we need to utilize in the clean water legacy effort, but they're bondable dollars, and so knowing we have limited general fund access, we're suggesting that this would be a way to deal with some of that need. Reynolds?
Mr. Chairman, member.
We have Representative McNamara has.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Osmond, if I'm not mistaken, there's some trails that have been included in the federal transportation bill. I think specifically, just coincidentally, a bunch of them are either in District 8 or Representative Sabo's district. Have you taken that into account? Is there some potential cost savings for us or the state of Minnesota? And I don't know, Mr. Chair, maybe it's an agency question that you want to wait. But were you aware of that, Representative Osmond?
Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, yes, we're working with the Parks and Trails Council on developing the list, and I know that there's matching funds is a significant thing that they look at to try and pick out priorities. And so a lot of these priority lists and the amounts that we have are triggered by when we have access to other funds such as that.
Okay. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But it looked, it's just when I was looking at the list, Representative Osmond, that maybe we had doubled up, or are you saying, because isn't there about an 85% reimbursement for them? We're just covering the state share.
Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, that's the intent. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Mr. Reinhold, please continue.
Mr. Chairman, members, the next item would be line 65, the local trails. The committee recommends $2.41 million for that, and the language does include earmarked specifically for trails. That would be on page 6. Line 22 in the language. What you'd see is there's $950,000 for the Mesabi Trail, $600,000 for the Cedar Lake Trail, $300,000 for the Vento Trail, $300,000 for the Cedar Avenue Bridge, $260,000 for the Sioux Line Multi-Use Recreational Bridge, and that would be the dollars directed towards specific trails. Those came before the committee primarily in bills from members.
Thank you. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm just wondering what were the parameters that were used to determine whether a trail was included or excluded from the list?
Representative Osmond and Representative Broad, these were, as we went through the list, many of them were, first of all, they had to have a hearing request so that they were before the committee. And then we went listened to the members with regard to specific choices that they had. If they were part of the governor's proposals, we tried to include those. There are also a specific list listing that was put together by the Parks and Trails Council, and they deal with these issues quite extensively, and we used a significant amount of their advice in coming up with this list.
Thank you. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Page 6, lines 6 through 9, is that the area that prompted some phone calls that I got from Trout Unlimited and Audubon? There's some sense that that goes across trout streams or...
Mm-hmm. Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair, that could be controversial.
Where is this?
The $300,000 for the all-terrain vehicles, looking at to see what on the North Shore Trail between the Manna Road and the Moose Walk Trail. And it was this was a provision that was brought to us by Representative Hackbarth, and we talked about it in committee and they received support.
No constitutional question, though, on that one.
Okay, so.
It's constitutional questions.
Yeah, I understand.
I didn't want to get in that debate.
It doesn't have water in it either, so that's just...
All right. Good enough. Please continue.
Mr. Chairman, members, the next grouping would be local grants, non-parks and trail grants. Line 83 is a $1 million for the Springbrook Nature Center, some redevelopment there. Line 84 would be $1 million for the Como Zoo on some construction projects there. 86, line 86 is the Prairie Wetlands Environmental Learning Center requesting and recommendation of $2.5 million for rehabilitation of some buildings. On 87 is $320,000 for the Ottertail River restoration. They have some problems with the flow of the river into a lake up there that this would solve. Moving into the next agency would be the Pollution Control Agency. On line 100 is recommending the closed landfill bonding. This is the state program that closes and maintains landfills that have been entered into this program, recommended at $7,150,000. The capital assistance program, this is the program that used to be ran out of the OEA. What it does is grants to local units of government to build recycling facilities or waste energy facilities, and the two local facilities that are on their priority list here would be in Rochester, I believe, and Perm would be funded out of that money. 103, the Lake Redwood Reservoir Reclamation is funded at a grant for $800,000, and the Coochin County Clean Air Project is recommended at $1 million to get the design work started on the project up there.
So, Mr. Chair, that particular project, the Coochin Clean Air Project, is actually using new technology called a plasma torch that they would be using to try and see if it's technologically feasible and financially feasible for this project to go forward. If it is, it could be fantastic in helping us to deal with waste materials in that part of the state where they're running out of landfill space.
Right.
And that this could help them where they wouldn't have to go establish another landfill. And their request was $10 million, but we thought we'd put $1 million in for a feasibility type of evaluations, and I don't know exactly how the language states it so that we could make it bondable,
right.
But we did.
Right.
And so it's a trying to make sure that this project actually would work and do what we want. We want a little bit of evaluation because we know that as fantastic a technology it is, it doesn't fit everywhere, and we wanted to have that looked at.
No, Chair, I'm going to hop back up to 87, the Otter Tail River restoration. The bonding committee did stop and take a peek at that, and our solution was to take the carpeting out of the ordway and see if, you know, that still looked pretty good, and see if that wouldn't fit in there. Did you think about that ordway carpeting, or didn't the... We're probably ahead of
Mark.
We thought it would look good there since it doesn't look good at the ordway, I guess. But, boy, I hope Sonny Elliott is here.
While you're here. Speaking about
that. In trouble. No one repeat that. Okay, I'm sorry.
While you're mentioning about those local grant projects, these are pulled out from, to be separate from the local community grants because they had some really specific activities that surrounded those ones. Those specific requests that we thought deserved to be highlighted in this particular proposal. And that's why you see Springbrook Nature Center and Como Zoo, Prairieland Wetlands Environmental Learning Center. I'd like to point out there that program is asking for some additional structure, but they have the missing component that most environmental learning centers really struggle with, and that's that they have money for maintenance and operation. And it's because they have a collaborative effort with the U.S. Forest Service and Fish and Wildlife, I believe, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and that's where they're able to actually maintain the program. And so our duty is to kind of work on the facilities and structure, and then the maintenance of the program is supported then by the federal government. So it's really a cooperative effort. That's the reason why those are out there.
Great, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, the next agency would then be on the PH2 Water and Soil Resources Board. The recommendations by the committee are for the RIM Reserve and CREP program, indicated there, $25.4 million of bonding and $4.75 of general fund, same as the governor. On the local government road wetland replacement program, dollars are $3.5 geo bonds and $700,000 general fund, same as the governor.
Could you stop for a second? I've got a question that others may as well. The Senate apparently doesn't like CREP anymore. Is it bad, or what happened over there? What are those guys thinking about?
Mr. Chair, members, I believe what's happened is that they've been getting misinformation. There's an indication that because some of the monies have not been able to be earmarked, or actually contracts signed and so forth, that they feel like maybe that program is getting a little bit backlogged. It's my understanding, talking with Bowser, and you may want to talk with him directly to get their viewpoint, but we were convinced that those dollars really do need to be there, because otherwise we can't show the federal government that we have the matching dollars available for the overall program. And as they get going and starting to finish up some of their identification of properties and that they're working with individual landowners and developing those contracts, we need to have those dollars in place. I think the Senate may be of the impression that that's lagging somewhat, and therefore it doesn't need support right now. And I disagree with that, that opinion.
Just for a moment, we'll officially call the meeting to order. And while we're chatting about the Senate, I think in members' packets there should have been a spreadsheet of the Senate proposal that they released last night. If you want the individual bill, print it yourself. But there is some language stuff in there you may want to take a peek at. It's kind of interesting. But there is a spreadsheet of the Senate bill. And as I sat glued to my computer last night watching the lengthy hearing that was held in this. Well, as I was watching the hearing that was held in the Senate, I was thinking back, the week before the Speaker and the Majority Leader and I met with Senator Johnson and Senator Langseth, and I suggested that we try something different this year and maybe negotiate a target beforehand and try to get something done before July. And Senator Langseth was convinced the way to go was he had to have a lot of process, he said, and the process was important, and we shouldn't really have a target before there was all this process. And so I watched the process last night, and I thought that was good, but just not enough process. And so in chatting with staff, we decided that next Tuesday we would take some public testimony on the Senate proposal. And so what we're going to do is we'll have a sign-up sheet. If folks have comments positively or negatively or ideas before we craft our bill, but we thought that if Senator Langseth wanted process, we should have a little process. Sounded like a good idea. So we'll do that. So we'll get a sign-up sheet, probably limit people to 2 to 5 minutes, and see how many people we can hear from next Tuesday. So I got a feeling the Bowser folks might want to shed some light where there apparently is darkness in the Senate about why that CREP program is good. So with that brief editorial comment, Representative Hausman.
Well, you made my point about CREP, but Mr. Chair, do you really want to subject this committee to the negative response of the Senate bill?
Well, I thought there would be positive response, Representative Hausman. I'm not sure it'll be, well, maybe it'll be a little negative, but I don't think so. But, well, maybe. But I just thought that Senator Langseth didn't want a target early because we wanted process, so I thought we ought to have a little process. Representative Brock.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's a great idea, and maybe they were just taking Senator Pappas's advice from conference committee when she suggested that we not do things in open doors, but do them behind closed doors.
Well, that's what she said, wasn't it? But I don't know. So that's it, but as you know, Representative Broad, you and I haven't been around as long as she is. And she pointed that out several times as well. Pile on.
I'm just a little worried with some of our humor may bring your July comment to fruition.
Or then again, maybe not. But it's about process. Representative Kingelstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned 2 to 5 minutes per testifier. Perhaps you should be looking at 60 seconds because there is that program on public TV where each group gets 60 seconds to get their pitch in. So that
we could bring Marilyn Hammer in and Butch and they could kind of run it. We'll talk to them. That's a wonderful suggestion. Okay. Please continue.
Mr. Chairman, members, the next item in Bowser would be on line 116. That's the recommendation from the committee of $2.5 million for the Stream Bank, Lakeshore, and Road Retention Program at Bowser. As you see here, this is also a Clean Water Legacy a project. The next one would be Study Area 2. What this is funding Joint Powers, local government Joint Powers group down in the Minnesota River Valley. $500,000. Grass Lake restoration is recommended at $2.2 million. This is a project out in Kandi Ohi County to restore Grass Lake. In the Department of Agriculture, there's two projects recommended. The first one is the Municipal Reforestation Project. That's recommended at $5 million. What this is for is grants to local units of government for both removal and replacement of diseased trees. 128 is the Joint Biosafety Laboratory facility that is being built at the University of Minnesota. This $1.5 million is for bringing the containment facility up to, I believe, what they call a level 3. They are doing, they handle items that they, in their testing that need that type of containment facility, apparently. The Minnesota Zoo is the next.
Mr. Chair, before I go to the zoo, the Municipal Reforestation Program actually requested about $20 million. And so we felt we needed to try and do something about that. As you know, we've had a significant infestation of different types of diseases that are really playing havoc on many of our communities. And so we thought we should get started on that overall state effort. There was a significant effort like this back in the 70s when we were having problems from different diseases. And the Joint Biosafety Laboratory facility, it's really, if you've been over to the new facility, the new agricultural building, you've seen it under construction. They really need to get that finished and up and going so that we're able to deal with problems that may come at us from terrorists or other types of concerns. And we're also, I know Representative Junkie had expressed some concern as to whether this was an adequate amount. I know he's looking at that, and you may hear a little bit more from him at some point in time as to whether this is what is really needed to complete that job. The department feels, I believe, feels that it is, but we are taking a look at it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Minnesota Zoo is the next agency, and the committee recommendations are the same as the governor's, $8 million for asset preservation and for continuation of the zoo master plan construction, $13 million is recommended. In the Met Council, the next agency, the committee recommended same as the governor for the 11.7 for the grant program, and also has then three other programs that would be, it's earmarked grants on top of that. The Mississippi River West Regional Park at $3 million, the Empire Wetlands Wildlife Area and Park at $7 million, and the Lake Avenue Regional Trail in White Bear Lake at $191 million. That is the explanation of the recommendations from the committee.
Are there any further questions of Doug Murphy?
If a project isn't on here, that just means that it's not on the priority list. But you did not give it a name. Projects that aren't listed. Did you give any negatives?
Madam Chair and Representative Murphy, no, we did not blacklist anyone on their projects. Matter of fact, we thought that the projects that were presented to us, by and large, was quite worthy, and we had comments from members that I thought that were definitely justification for the request. But we had to try and cut off and make choices, and so that's what you see as our choices here. But I think members of the legislature on the House side did a good job of trying to select out good projects to bring forward, and I didn't see a lot that you'd, or projects that we'd actually say, no, that's something that's really bad and should never be considered.
And Representative
Murphy.
And Representative Austin, I have to apologize that I didn't tell you ahead of time that it's the year of the polar bear.
any further questions? If not, thank you, Representative Osmond, and I think Representative Seifert and State Government Finance are next up. Welcome to the committee, and we should have a spreadsheet in front of us.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Do members have a spreadsheet in their packet? Okay. Madam Chair, I'll walk through the spreadsheet with the committee members. I have with me Helen Roberts, who's the fiscal analyst for State Government Finance, and I'll walk through what the committee recommendations were. Just to let you know how our committee operated, Madam Chair, we heard all of the bills. We tried to hear all of the bills in time for the deadline this committee imposed. The only one we were not able to make in time for the deadline was Representative Ellison's bill, which you'll see at toward the bottom of the neutral recommendation. Representative Ellison couldn't get his testifiers in time, and so we decided to keep him alive on the neutral list, and he said he was happy to be where he was on the list. So we worked that one out. Otherwise, every bill that he had a request, we give a hearing to, and each member of the 10 of us were able to do a 1, 2, or a 3. A 1 would be a positive recommendation, a 2 would be a neutral, and a 3 would be a blacklisted or not recommended, and House rules would not allow it to be funded. And so those consolidated numbers, Madam Chair and members, would be under score, the box that says score. And so we just, every member got a vote, and we didn't have the chair dictate anything. And so the first priority of the committee was the Capitol building. And we decided to do a very in-depth, we had two in-depth hearings on the Capitol building, and we decided to scale the agency request down to $3.184 million. That would fund the highest priority, which would be the renovation of the dome in the Capitol, and the planning and design of the East Wing renovation, and that would save you money, and it would also get the dome finished in time for the sesquicentennial in 2008. And as a committee, you know, we felt this was not a project, and I don't even know what district. Is it Representative Mariani or Representative Intenza? I'm not sure whose district the Capitol even sits in, but we don't see that as a project for a member, but it's every member of the House should want the Capitol to be done and done right. It's in all of our districts, frankly. And so we decided to put the Capitol as a number one priority. We scaled it back by asking the Cap Board to go back and reconfigure what would be the best thing you could get done at the best price, and that was to get the dome and the planning of the East Wing done. In conjunction with that, Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler worked on the Ford Building renovation project. The Ford Building, members, is across University Avenue. It is mothballed right now. And when we renovate the Capitol over the next 8 or so years, the Senate members are going to have to go somewhere, and their staff. And instead of renting out space and moving them far distances away or what have you, we thought it may be a good idea to utilize the Ford Building, get a heat plant in there, get flexible walls up, get cubicles and office space in. They told us to get the building up to snuff where it would be a functional, usable building like this one. It would be $13.4 million. That's an awful lot of money, but we just wanted to be honest with you in terms of if you wanted the Ford Building to be up to snuff 100%, that's what it would cost. But the Department of Administration said they would be in touch with this committee if you wanted them to redo numbers just to do the basics, the heat plant, and maybe get it up to minimal standards. So those kind of go hand in hand. Representative Kahn can maybe help out because she's also on my committee and maybe would like to jump in here at some point. But number two is military affairs asset preservation, and that includes a lot of our National Guard facilities. The next one would be military affairs facility and life safety. Some of that I believe deals with just getting things in proper order for National Guard facilities and our, I'm trying to think of the name of them back in our districts. What are those called? The armories, to get the armories up to snuff. The next one is a little confusing. It's the administrative hearings relocation. Administrative hearings is over Minneapolis. They're paying a lot in square foot rent. We have vacant space in the revenue building right now that would fit all of the administrative law judges and their courtrooms, office space, and we could co-locate to utilize staff better. And this is what it would cost. The GF is general fund for moving costs. All the general fund ones are moving costs, basically. But the 3.651 is to do a 100% transition into that building. The next bill, Representative Kahn, has the Starfleet program down in the Starbase program, which is teaching. It's not Star Trek, but it's like teaching math and science to inner city youth. I was very impressed with their program, and it has basically got a waiting list to get students from Minneapolis and St. Paul Public Schools and some of the private schools down to, is it Fort Snelling?
Mr. Chairman, it's at the National Guard station, right where that Air Museum is, too, at the...
We thought that was a good program, and we're going to visit it as a committee sometime this year. Representative Loeffler's bill was the Ford building renovation. Representative Vandeveer has repair of the Peace Officers Memorial, which is on the Capitol grounds. There's some water damage and some cracks on there. The next one is ADA compliance for military affairs. That would also entail the National Guard. The next one is indoor range abatement and conversion for military affairs. We then fell into the neutral recommendation, statewide CAPRA. I would say that both asset preservation and CAPRA are fairly important, but they really don't end up on, you know, people's favorite project list because they're so all-encompassing, but they are very important, Madam Chair. Representative Tao had a Hmong veteran statue for the Capitol grounds for those who assisted our soldiers during the Vietnam War. We did have a little discussion amongst members. I believe it was Representative Mullery felt that Hmong was too specific of a word, that it should be Southeast Asian community. However, Representative Tao said that to get the matching funds that we'd like to have, the Hmong business people and so forth would like the title to be a Hmong veteran statue, not just a broad definition. And those two are supposed to work that out and get back to Representative Dorman. The next one, the Volleyball Center for Rochester, the bill was brought to us by Representative Bradley, and that is a recommendation from the Amateur Sports Commission. And the last one is Representative Ellison, and we found out, I believe, that is not bondable as it was presented to us. Ms. Roberts, can you explain briefly why?
Mrs. Roberts, Madam Chair and members, the $400,000 would be enough to fund a resurfacing of the track, which only has a 7 to 9 year year lifespan. The alternative would be to replace the track entirely with an estimated 20-year lifespan, and the cost for that would be approximately $900,000.
Continue.
Madam Chair, thank you. Madam Chair and members, the next item is the exterior renovation of the Department of Transportation building next to this building. Our committee blackballed this project last year, and I believe the year before that, and I believe the year before that. this year, we decided to ask DOT, what do you minimally need to get the actual safety issues resolved with the exterior, rather than taking the full apple at $10.1 million. And they said that they could get the hazardous pieces of stone that are ready to fall off and hit people taken care of for $2.5 million. And that would take care of the basics of the outside exterior renovation. We had a vigorous discussion about whether trunk highway funds should be used for the exterior renovation or GO bonds. And so I just, under the notes, we had members write down, we had four members who say do not use trunk highway, and we had one that said only use trunk highway. So we'll just let this committee figure that out. And then under the negative recommendations, someone, I don't remember who, wanted a new state office building. That got blackballed. There was another agency or someone else that wanted a tunnel run on, I believe it was under Robert Street between the Stassen and Freeman buildings, that was blackballed. And then the long-range commuting plan was withdrawn, and so we put it down, but it wasn't even proposed as a bill. And that's our recommendations, Madam Chair.
Representative McNamara has questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Seifert, the MnDOT transportation exterior, did they give you any indication if you spent $2.5 million, how long would it be before we needed to spend the rest of the money?
Madam Chair, I'm assuming they would be back for the other $7.5 million next year, but I'm just going to look around and see if there's someone who might want to jump up on that one. They did not, but the assumption was they would be back next year for the rest of it. But this would, my concern, I mean, the committee members, I had to exercise a little bit of lobbying to just get the 2.5. My members were very inclined to blackball the entire project again for the third or fourth year in a row. And I do have some concern that if we have a slab of granite falling off and hitting someone, that wouldn't look very good. So I think we should have something to take care of the worst of the worst. And that was the estimate that they gave us to take care of that problem.
Any other questions? Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Madam Chairman, I think I moved that along by telling a story that had happened many years ago when the state government's division was looking at bonding requests. Now, I don't think we'd gotten to our allocations, but Representative Henry Kalis was a member of that committee. Representative Neil Hogrood was the chair of it. People were all making their comments about what needed to be done to fix up the outside, and Representative Kalis was standing in front of the Capitol showing some people in his district, pointing out the facade and so forth, and as he was standing there, an arm from one of the statues fell down right next to them, not doing any damage, but the committee moved the request real fast.
Singleton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chairman Seifert, maybe I misunderstood here. My first question is about the Sports Center track resurfacing. I thought you said that was not bondable.
Yes, Madam Chair. Representative Tinglestad, we put this list together before the Ellison bill was fully aired in committee. Oh. And when he did come to committee, is it yesterday? When he came to committee yesterday, the Department of Finance had said that it needs to, for a bondable project, it has to have a lifespan of 20 years. Is that the criteria, Ms. Roberts?
Madam Chair, members, it has to be at least longer than 10 years. I'm not sure if there's an effect, but the lifespan of merely resurfacing the track at the National Sports Center was 7 to 9 years, so that would not be bondable. Mr. Wells, did you want to clarify?
Madam Chair, just a point of clarification. One of the criteria that finance uses is since they issue 20-year bonds, the project has to have a longevity of at least the term of the bond repayments.
Representative Singleton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chairman Seifert, just another question. I know your committee has the military affairs, and I'm just wondering of the requests from the military affairs folks, how much of it did you actually end up fund here for your recommendations?
Madam Chair, we would recommend all of military affairs as... Oh, Mr. Chair, we would recommend... switched on me here. We would recommend all of the military affairs as a positive recommendation in the order that we gave them to you. And that was mainly, I believe, we had booklets handed out from military affairs. Representative Solberg and Kahn had some questions in regard to how some of the armories were being renovated and so forth. So that's kind of how those came down. But we would give positive recommendation to all of them at the amount that was requested. There is a backlog. Even if we fund military affairs at the full amount, there's still a backlog in the armory renovations. I mean, there's just no end in sight at how much you can do in terms of roof repair, but this takes care of the basics.
Thank you.
Representative Mahoney on the topic of military affairs. Or elsewhere.
I'm going to go elsewhere, Mr. Chair. Representative Seifert, did you hear any testimony on, I'm back on the DOT exterior renovations. In construction, what you have is the basic costs. I mean, they're going to have to go rent the scaffold and put the scaffold up, and then they have to probably scaffold the whole building, and then they're going to have to do safety issues. Will they drape the whole building just in case something falls off and so no one gets hurt? And they're going to have to do all that, whether they do one, you know, two or three panels, because I'm sure these panels are spread out across, and we do half the panels or a third of the panels. And a year from now, or 2 years from now, we're going to have to do it all over again. Did you hear testimony as to that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, that is a point that's well made. We did not hear testimony on that. That's been going through my mind. You have to keep in mind that, you know, but not for me intervening and begging for them not to blackball. My committee was ready just to blackball the whole project again for however many, Phyllis, how many years has that been blackballed? I mean, it's one of those things to try to keep it as a placeholder, Representative Mahoney, I guess is what I would say. The details were not really explicitly given, that the cost overall and dragging all the equipment out, all the workmen, doing the bids, I know exactly what you're saying, but to keep it as a placeholder alive, because if we did blackball it, this committee would not even be able to recommend a penny for it. And I just think at some point we need to kind of move forward on this. And so that was the just to give you kind of the reasoning, it would have just ended up in the blackball category. So I was able to persuade my members, if we reduce the amount, can we kind of placeholder it to this committee and have you folks, you know, take a look at it and see what you think. And you can go back up to 10 if you want.
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert, if you could give me the name of the person over at the department, I'd actually like to know how much we're going to waste. I mean, how much we're, you know, in case, you know, I want to have a conversation and use whatever influence I have on our magnanimous chair here to really push this one forward.
I'm back for speaking about. You're not going to push that vinyl siding thing again, are you?
I was thinking of aluminum.
I see Ms. Rankin from the Department of Finance is there. You don't have to come down, but if you would, you know, I keep hearing geo trunk Iowa. Do we have an option? Does it have to be one or the other? And if you don't know that, just track that information down. But I keep hearing some people tell me it has to be Trunk Highway. Somebody else says, no, it can't be Trunk Highway. And maybe Representative Holberg later can help. But are you making your way down? She's going to make your way down. Ladies and gentlemen, special request. Representative Kahn.
A little history. It's always been Trunk Highway bonds whenever we do anything right to that. So it obviously can be. I don't know that you ever say that it has to be.
Right. I've heard people say that it has to be, and I want to...
Only has to be if you're worried about the limits of your general fund bonding.
Right. One of the old Constitution thing. I just want to make sure that we...
No, you never...
I'm sorry, Roy.
Mr. Chair and members, Jane Rankin, Executive Budget Officer with the Department of Finance. Actually, I think the finance person that you really want to have here is Peter Sousen, but we have had some discussions at finance about this issue, and the short answer is you can use either trunk highway bonds or GO bonds for this particular project. If you choose the GO bond route, you would have to notwithstand the provision in the MnDOT statute.
Notwithstanding. You concur, Ms. Dyson?
Mr. Chair, yes. And there's been additional discussion that relates to the rents charged back to the agency related to some of these issues. And there have been a number of discussions between finance and staff over the last few years over this and how it plays out. And we can get committee information that on the issues involved in this.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciative. Thank you.
That's a recommendation.
That's it. Any other additional? No. Seeing none. Thank you very much. Who is next on the list? You want to race to see who gets down first, or how do you want to do that? Representative Sikora, our good friend from Veterans Island out there in Lake Minnetonka.
And it is beautiful, Mr. Chairman. And I thank you again last year for including that in the bonding bill. That my district has been so excited about that project because I think it's the first time we ever had anything like that. And I hear a lot about it all the time.
That's good.
And they will be working on it this summer. And with a number of students from the schools that will be involved helping out there. So
for the
that's
children.
A great program, yes.
What's that? Yeah, we'll have a weenie roast.
You can take a field trip out this summer. Seriously, if you ever wanted to come out, we would find a way to get you to the island. And I don't think the steamboat is docking there yet this summer because the dock isn't built.
Right.
But we will find a way to get you there.
And please, no Vikings jokes. Refrain from that. Representative Sikora, please present the well-reasoned and insightful suggestions from the
Education Finance Committee. I have this short list that my committee has brought forward, as well as hopefully the language that came with it. And I will explain that as we go. But the first three items are essentially asset preservation type things for the Purpose Center for the Arts and for the Academies for the Deaf and Blind. We rank those as our number ones because those are state agencies, and it's more or less our first obligation in education to take care of our state agencies. Beyond that, last year we started a fund for the Library Capital Improvement Grants. I believe you put $1 million into that fund in the final analysis. I much prefer something like this to having 15 different libraries from all over the state who want us to give them the money to build a building. This makes it a competitive grant proposal, and we are recommending $4 million go into the competitive grant proposal, again for libraries. There are probably 25 libraries on the list who are looking for some funding. We certainly didn't want to take them up separately. MacPhail Center for Music Grant, that is certainly of statewide interest, and MacPhail has kind of satellite locations around the state and provides a lot of music education. I think they have over 7,500 students that they currently educate in their various facilities.
I don't know if any members had the opportunity last week or the week before when it snowed to go over and look at that project, but that's really, they've really got things happening there. And is that in your district, Irvin Kelleher? McPhail? Or will it be?
Mr. Chair, how to answer
that? That's not a congressional
district.
Comment. They're moving the building.
No. Currently it is in my district, but the move will put it, I believe, in Reps of Ellison's district.
But you're still okay with it?
I like the project, Mr. Chair.
Right.
Is Minneapolis moving another building?
No.
You know, the one thing that I thought was...
It's not the Schubert. I think we should just move on from Reps of Ellison starting up.
Back to the McPhail. The one thing that I really... that caught my attention was that so many times we hear people come in and say, well, boy, we need this state funding because if we get it, then we're going to get all this other private donation. And if we don't get it, it'll be a signal that, you know, the state doesn't care, and so our private fundraising won't go over very well. These guys actually have their fundraising done, which is, you know, different than we normally hear. And so I thought that was a very good sign.
And, Mr. Chair, that did impress our committee because they have already raised, I believe they had raised about 12 and a half when they first introduced the bill. By the time it got to us, it was closer to 15. And the other five is essentially what they need. So we were very pleased to recommend them. I'd also like to mention that really there was very broad agreement in our entire committee on all the projects that you will see before you today, the ones that we didn't fund and the ones that we did. That brings me to Net Lake. Net Lake is a very small school in the northernmost part of the state. Their original request included enough money to build a community center and also some money for health facilities. We felt that it was our obligation to provide for an education facility, but not necessarily a community center. And therefore, what we did is we put the $7 million in that will be what they need, and this is what they told us they needed to do the education portion. I will say we were very impressed with the spirit that they have up there, the fact that they are really bringing up their grade scores. They have literacy groups going. They have a lot of parental involvement. I believe they deserve a reward because they are doing what we would like to see people doing all over the state. So Randy Demmer was up there with me when we visited that, and I think he probably had the same impression that I did.
Representative Demmer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll take that as a segue and give Representative...
No, there's no motorized or unmotorized. There's no segues in the bill at all. People can get there on bike, walk, bus, and not...
Actually, if you're going to Net Lake, Mr. Chair, you better be in a car or something. Cause right. It's a hike.
Don't ride the Segway.
Okay. Net Lake project was, and actually Red Lake too. We got a chance to go visit the Representative Sikora and I, and very interesting. And Net Lake, the thing that we're interested in is test scores too, and they're doing some great things with their kids. Is really the most important thing. They do have nice facilities. They're well cared for. Their goals going forward. This isn't everything they asked for. They are doing some things that we felt was outside of the purview of the school, and we had some good communication with them, but they got some nice stuff going on there, and it was a real treat to go up and see that. That's all. I'll let you talk about Red Lake.
Thank you so much, support.
Okay, I'll move on to Red Lake, and if there aren't questions on that one. Red Lake had asked for $55.5 million, and they had two major project areas. And one of them being to finish their high school and middle school, which are one large building joined in the middle, and the middle school is on one side, and the high school is on the other side. They have been coming for years and getting part of what they ask for year after year, and somehow never getting this school finished. So the word we have from them, and there's some rather strong language in the language portion that you should have also a copy of. There's some rather strong language we would like to go forward with this that says they will finish this. Monty Hammett, who testified along with the superintendent, has promised they will get it done, it will be beautiful, and they won't be back for 30 years for anything for the middle school or high school. And we felt that was a pretty good trade-off. And it would be nice to have them finish it. And it seems when you... The $10 million that the governor recommended, there was no particular project they were going to do for $10 million. It just didn't work anyway. So we'd like to see that finished, and they promised it would be finished, and they'd invite us. Our last piece,
Representative Kelleher.
Representative Sikora, what will Monty do, though, if he doesn't have to come back for the next 30 years?
You know, they might not like to pay him as much.
We like seeing Monty, though.
He will be coming back for the other half that they're trying to do, which is add on to their early childhood Head Start, et cetera, which is another $23 or $24 million.
So they're allowed to come back for that.
That they're allowed to come back for. They just are never allowed to ask for the high school and middle school for 30 years because that's what they promised.
It's kind of like maybe groups that form around a single issue, hypothetically speaking, like Profile of Learning. And even though it went away, they decided that, jeepers, this is a good gig, and we better find a new issue. So I'm sure there are more issues that must be tackled.
But, Mr. Chair, Monty's such a nice guy. We just like seeing him around.
Exactly. Why don't you just come around and say hi?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, to this point,
Representative
Monty did assure us that he will be back for the elementary and the elementary and RECFE connection and also the other elementary school. He assured us, he promised us he would be back working on those projects, but not the high school and middle school.
Excellent.
Because that will be finished.
And beautiful, and we'll be invited.
Yes, exactly.
All right, note that down on the record. Okay.
Okay, that brings us to our last recommendation, which is cooperative second facilities grant funding. And this one we had a great deal of discussion. It took most of our hearing time. And the problem that we have is we have a number of small districts in the state, and two or three of them had come to us with requests for a grant for consolidation and construction, essentially, of a new school. And these are districts that have tried to pass a referendum. They have very high property, farm property values have been soaring, and so they aren't eligible for the debt service equity dollars that we give for those situations. They also have major issues of very old buildings along with mold, fire marshal citations, all those kinds of issues. We didn't like the idea of beginning to fund specific districts with those kinds of grants. So what we did is recommend $12 million in a secondary facilities grant funding, and we attached some pretty stiff criteria to the ability to access that money. And that is if you have the verbiage that came with our recommendations, you would be looking at page 4. And on page 4, it kind of goes through the grant application process, that in the next couple of pages. They would only be eligible for up to 25% or $5 million. They'd have to have at least 300 pupils who would be served grades K through 12. They have to be consolidated or consolidating. And they have to have a statement of need. So if they have major problems with mold or major problems with the building falling apart, all those kinds of things, and fixing it is going to cost more than building a new one, you know, that would be part of their statement of need. You know, this is something that your committee probably wishes to discuss. We really kind of agonized over this because it is a new precedent to do this. We also could not quite figure out how to help some of these other districts.
Representative Sikora, and I see Mr. Strom is here. I don't know if you feel like you want to, if you could share anything with us today, or maybe if we could bring you back next week for a little bit and talk to us about the history of this program, because, you know, I recently learned about it a little bit, too, that you know, they're not reinventing the wheel. This has been done before, and there are some schools, and so I don't know if you feel comfortable commenting on the spot, or, you know, if you want to come back on Tuesday or something next week, whatever, if you're comfortable and you want to give the brief synopsis, feel free to pounce. Otherwise, we'll wait till next week. Yeah. I'm leaving that up to you.
You were supposed to be up here anyway, Mr. Strong.
He thought he was hiding.
I found him.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. The program is essentially an extension
of our... official again. Who are you?
I'm Tim Strom from House Research.
Okay, thank you.
The program is an extension of one that passed in 1987 that at that time Representative Glenn Anderson was behind, called the Cooperative Secondary Facility Grant Program. And since 1987, the state has funded 5 school projects with money through that program. The program as it's currently designed is aimed toward the secondary level and has criteria in terms of both minimum and maximum numbers of students. The changes that are in the draft that are recommended to this committee include lowering the maximum or lowering the minimum number of pupils required. Under the statute as it existed prior, a school needed 66 kids per grade. Under the recommendations forwarded by Representative Sikora's committee, the school only needs to serve a total of 300 pupils. There was a maximum size as well of 1,200 pupils per school. That's been lifted from the program. In terms of the 5 school projects that were funded, the total funding was about $32 million in state bond grants. The grants ranged from just under $6 million to slightly over $8 million.
I'm just, Representative Support, do we have the language changes?
You know, I submitted it, but I don't know where it is. I presume
right. I don't think we have. We'll get them out to the members. I don't think we have them. The minimum size change, will you tell me that one more time?
Mr. Chair, members, the minimum size under current law is 66 pupils per grade. The K-12 recommendations were to change that so that you'd need no more than 300 pupils in the K-12 facility. A third change, Mr. Chair, was to broaden it to all grades. Currently, the program is focused at the secondary level, and the language changes would allow the grants for a facility, whether it's K-12 or just elementary or just secondary.
Great. You know, I know of 2 projects. Representative Cornish has one. Representative Peterson has one. Do you think, are there others that are out there floating around? You don't have to answer for sure, but I'm just curious if you think there are others that might fit into this, I think as we talk to some people, just the concern about, you know, how big is the box?
Mr. Chair, committee members, in part I think it would depend on the size of the grants that were being established. There are a few other districts we're aware of that have facilities needs that are recently consolidated districts, including the McLeod West School District. I would guess that there are maybe three or four more districts like that out there that have an immediate building need, but my guess is the need would be larger and if one's time horizon were longer than the next couple of years.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that information. Representative Sikora.
That brings to a close all the other items listed below are either things that we did not feel should be addressed, or in the case of Lake Benton and United South Central, they could possibly apply for the grant program that we mentioned.
Good. Okay. Thank you. We appreciate your time very much.
Thank you, sir.
And last but certainly not least, my good friend from Lakeville, Representative Holper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You should have a handout for the transportation program, and I have 10 members in my committee, and as I did last year, provided each of them with a worksheet to fill out, and you can see on the numbers 1 through 10 in the middle of the page the individual vote totals of each member of the committee. As you can see, there's a wide range of support for a variety of projects in general. There's some people on our committee that may be more prone to fund cement and tar, and others that like to fund transit projects, and you'll see that reflected in some of the vote totals and priorities here. But the first four projects received 8 or 9 members putting money towards those projects, the first one being the local road improvement program and the local bridge replacement program, and then two transit projects, that being the I-35W bus rapid transit and the Cedar Avenue bus rapid transit. Following that, in a medium priority, with 7 members voting to support North Star and Central Corridor, and then with 6 supporting the port development, and then the remaining projects did not receive a majority of members supporting them, and that being the rail service, the Rush Line, the Red Rock, the St. Paul Chicago High Speed Rail Project, the St. Paul Union Depot, the Robert Street Transit Corridor study, and then there was only one person that supported the Department of Transportation DOT exterior with GO bonds, and the one project on this list that received a do not fund category, and that would have occurred as a result of people checking a do not fund category, is the Northeast Minnesota Rail Initiative, which is beginning stages of a commuter rail project in the Duluth area. For trunk highway bonding, 8 individuals supported trunk highway bonding for Mankato and the DOT exterior, and 6 for the Chaska truck station. In addition, we've had some discussion as a committee about this rail service improvement fund and whether or not currently it's a loan program. There's some discussion around whether or not that should be a grant program. We're going to receive more testimony related to that tomorrow, and maybe bringing some additional language for that program to the committee, pending what happens tomorrow in our committee.
Great. The one question I have, Representative Holberg, the third from the top into the high priority, there's this Metropolitan Council I-35W bus rapid transit. I was glancing over my spreadsheet of the Senate proposal, and those rascals didn't think much of that program. Is there something I need to know about that? Who is that designed to serve, or what is that project about?
Well, it truly is unfortunate. Part of that money would cover the additional costs related to the Crosstown Improvement Project, which is starting very soon, and as that project was first engineered, it contemplated a regular transit station at 46th Street up on top of the bridges that went over 35W. This bonding authority would allow for that particular station to actually be at the same grade in the center of the freeway, to be the first component of the on the freeway transit way down the center of 35W. In addition, it would provide for the opportunity to purchase land and do some improvements for additional park and ride lots located in Bloomington and possibly Lakeville, depending on how the money would go. But the important factor about this is that if it doesn't occur this year, then we would lose a great opportunity for very little cost to put the first at-grade station in conjunction with the Crosstown Project in Minneapolis.
Very good. Representative Broad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Holberg, could you tell me where the Minnesota Valley Regional Rail Authority proposal fits? Does that fit in any of the categories that you have in terms of rail service improvements, or is it somewhere else?
Mr. Chair, historically, the Transportation Committee has not earmarked funds for special projects within bridges, roads, ports, or rail. And as I stated earlier, we're struggling with this issue of the grants versus loan in the rail fund. We're going to receive more testimony in committee tomorrow. But at this point, the way this would be structured is that there was a medium or half of the committee supported it, putting at least some money into the rail fund, which is a revolving loan fund at this time. I might add, though, that I think the committee was impressed with the testimony that these rail lines were important to not only the agricultural industry and specifically to moving ethanol products, but also with the growing pressure on our highways that most likely moving freight by rail will become a more and more important factor in congestion relief in our highways, and that we should look at ways to support getting some of that freight off of our roads and, in fact, be more effective with our rail system in the state.
Great. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Holbert. I'm looking at your spreadsheet here, and it's a little confusing, I guess, but I'm starting to figure it out. Your average level of support is, say, on the number on the first one there, the department local road improvement is 22%, right? And then 21.7. So that's kind of a percentage of support, and those are all high priorities. Now I get down to the medium priorities, and geez, you got 1, 2, 3. At least three of them that beat two of your high priorities. So, I mean, is it just a matter of who voted and it's not the level of support percentages that they gave? Because I'm thinking what you did is you just gave a percentage of how much you liked the project, and one said 6.6 and another said 5. And
Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mahoney, each committee member was given 100 points or $100, if you will, to spend. And if you look at the columns titled requests or governor's recommendations, we showed the dollar amounts in those particular categories, and then for reference purposes showed what percent within those breakouts of categories of the dollars equated to. And so, say, in the case of a project in which it was a large amount of money, then the percent was higher. And so it's a little different. It's not necessarily how much money, but how much support for a particular project, because in general, rail and port funding has been somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million a year, where you can have requests for transit programs and others being very large. So it was a way to spend your money, so everybody had the same amount of money to spend, but they also would take into consideration the proportion of the dollars relative to the need for each individual project.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Moore.
So, am I supposed to think in terms of this average level of support, or just go with your high priority and medium priority, or, I mean, I get your $100 to spend, but if I follow that, you know, it doesn't follow in this level of support.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think it depends on how you look at it. I mean, if you look at, let's say, the case of the local bridge replacement, in the scheme of all the requests, it was about 28% of the total dollars that were requested, or under the governor's recommendation, 20%. So you can look across the dollar appropriations for each committee member and see some exceeded it, and the range there is from 5 to 38% of the dollars as far as the priority and spending for the committee members. And you also notice that one committee member did not give it any money whatsoever. I mean, it kind of works in the way that maybe they would think that you would put together a bill, and that if you had individual votes on each individual funding thing, you would, in the case of my committee, have to get six people to support it before it would actually make it into a final bill, if you will. And so in this way, it's a way of not only distributing the money, but also showing how many people support particular projects. And to that end, that's why we give you the lineup of all 10 responses as well.
Representative Holberg, I know we don't know who these individuals are that voted, but if you look at that, whoever that voter number 9 is.
Mr. Chair, and you may notice that again. You may notice again for the second year there's somebody that can't count to 100, and it's my belief that that's the same person that couldn't count to 100 last year.
I think I was right last year.
We're not a nickel for bridges.
Are there other questions or unique observations? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The discussion item, Chair Holberg, I think you were here when we were discussing this earlier about trunk highway bonds being used for building construction. In your discussions with the committee or you as an individual, I know it's historical precedent that we've done it that way, but there's just something that just drives me nuts about that and like your opinions on it.
Representative Holberg.
Well, at the risk of disclosing which column is mine, feeling is that our road systems are really hurting for funds, and if there's any way to fund these necessary improvements to the DOT building with GO bonds, that certainly would be a nice way to go, but it's certainly getting to a critical point. And addressing safety concerns and the costs of repair are going to do nothing but go up. I recognize the somewhat unusual situation in that if we use GO bonds and it's the buildings actually owned by MnDOT and some of the lease issues with admin, that it might be a little cumbersome to get to the point to use GO bonds. But the thought of using trunk highway dollars on a building just doesn't set right with me, but I, in general, would have a higher priority for transportation over many things that are in the bonding bill, so.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Grapple.
One of the things someone told me last year, and maybe it was inaccurate, but I had always asked, you know, can we just bond for new roads without creating a new revenue stream in the Trunk Highway Fund? And someone told me no. But I see here, you know, there's proposals out there to provide trunk highway bonding for buildings, yet there's no new revenue stream. Did someone misinform me last year on that, or can we provide additional bonding without a new revenue stream to the Trunk Highway Fund?
Well, certainly, historically, we have done it for various capital improvement programs for MnDOT. In the last couple years, there has not been trunk highway bonding. I think the Mankato headquarters building has been 6 years that they've requested trunk highway bonding for that.
but the ability to bond has to, the trunk highway bonding has to be approved by the legislature, and that we appropriate those bonds or those trunk highway funds every 2 years. And so we do have the ability to bond for roads, but again, it has to be approved by the legislature.
So, Mr. Chairman, so we don't necessarily, we necessarily don't need a new revenue stream in order to provide, again, from a short-term perspective, if we wanted to bond our brains out, we don't need a new revenue stream to do that.
Representative Holberg, I think what he's asking is if we want to sell $100 million and $200 million in trunk highway bonds, can we do it without regard to money being in the fund?
Well, I suppose you could, but I don't think that when you look at what's going on right now with highway funding and the programming that's been done on projects, I think that MnDOT's pretty close to utilizing all their resources with identified needs, and I'm not sure to what degree we'd have additional debt service dollars available without undoing where they are in their short-range planning for their projects at this point.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, last question. Regarding the Central Corridor, I know there's sort of the busway, railway game they're playing. Do we have an ETA, or do we know when they're going to be committed to one or the other? Is there any timeline on that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, in both the Legislative Oversight Commission and my committee, the testimony has always been soon.
Soon?
Soon.
Mr. Chairman.
But every picture's got a train on it.
I was going to say, Mr. Chairman, you want to know, can you keep a secret, Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry?
Can you keep a secret?
Sure.
I think it's going to be rail. We don't know anymore.
Well, and Mr. Chair, to the defense of the Central Corridor, I think the problem is that they're talking at, and when you get to needs, and Representative Hausman can surely chime in here, but what they testified yesterday is that they would need articulated buses, three sections long, moving every 7 minutes through the corridor in order to have enough capacity to move the expected ridership in the out years. And logistically, that's probably not very feasible to have those big, huge, long buses and the loading time and unloading and maneuvering through the traffic. So I agree that it very likely will be a rail recommendation, but then the cost effectiveness figuring will start.
Would you need a tunnel over at the university if you did buses, though?
I think that's something to be determined later.
Thank you, Representative Holbrook.
Thank you. Are there other questions for our good friend? Thank you, Representative Holbrook. Oh, wait. Ooh, close.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holbrook, do you want to talk about the mistake on the sheet?
Representative Holbrook, tell us about the mistake on the sheet.
Did not make a five, or five does not make six. DNF, it's only five. And five up above was a higher priority.
You're talking about the Duluth dealer at the bottom?
I mean, just a mistake under Northeastern Minnesota Rail Initiative.
And it has just been brought to my attention that there is a mistake on the sheet, and so it looks like, Representative Murphy, you can celebrate tonight. The Northeast Minnesota Rail Initiative would have received five do not fund votes, I guess.
Will that shoot right up to low priority?
Actually, we put the fives in the low. Because it only had three people that funded, they would still be in a low priority.
Right.
Three people provided money, but it would not have been blackballed.
Take your victories when you can get them, right?
Thank you.
All right.
We'll fire Jeremy for that. Don't worry about that.
Jeremy's
fine. And, Mr. Chair, we don't fire anybody around here.
Oh, never. Only ourselves. Know that the voters do that.
Well, with that, members, I think that... Hold it. Oh, I will move the minutes. What minutes are we going to move? They are very moving.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative, thank you. Representative Dean, who has been listening very attentively to all of this and has read the minutes carefully, would move the adoption of the minutes of the meeting from 3:21:06. Correct, Mr. Representative Dean?
Yes, sir.
Is there any additions, corrections, or comments on those minutes? All in favor of the adoption, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, signify by saying aye. The minutes are adopted. And with that, our next meeting will be Tuesday. Will be Tuesday in this room, and we will. We'll have the sign-up sheet outside of my office with Rory if folks want to testify on the process of the Senate bill, either for or against. And what we'll do then is say we'll cut that off Monday at 3 o'clock, so you'll have to sign up by Monday at 3 o'clock if you wish to testify. And by 6 o'clock on Monday, we'll post notice outside 517 of who made the list of testifiers, because just in case there's too many to hear. Representative Tingleston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you know, Tuesday is first deadline, and there's committees like GovOps and others that have long meetings that night. Do you have any idea how long that meeting will go on Tuesday?
I would hope to get it in and done within 2 hours. I don't, you know. That's why we're going to limit it a little bit, and so if there's 17 people that want to testify on how great the funding was for the North Star Quarter, we'll probably just say, you know, let's just pare that down to one. And so we'll do a little filtering, just because, you know, we want to give enough people the time to make their case.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions? Seeing none, meeting is adjourned.